Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Saturday. He's armed with a week's worth of talking points and got up early for your listening pleasure. So kick back and enjoy all the immensity, the potency, and the intensity that is the Robin Lundberg Show. Here's the man so charismatic, we named the show after him, Robin Lundberg.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Happy holidays to everybody out there, though. Unfortunately, COVID doesn't take holidays off. I don't feel like talking about this, if you've listened to me. I am not diminishing the seriousness of what we're all going through. First off, let me make sure that's clear. We all are aware, or I would hope, of what we're going through, and I hope everyone out there is being individually responsible to be collectively responsible. You know, wearing masks, not hanging around with people inside, all that sort of stuff. However, I think, you know, it's not like it's breaking news to anybody what's going on anymore. There's nothing revelatory in talking about, you know, the state of affairs. You're all reminded of it, right? Every day, but you're probably reminded of it over Thanksgiving, given the you know, fewer people that were there, or you didn't travel at all because you didn't want to see your parents, whatever it may be. You're working from home. Obviously, your kids aren't at school. All that stuff. Like, nobody needs a reminder of what's going on. Nobody needs to know what's going on. And sports have, since they returned, for the most part, I think, served the purpose of being a little bit of a respite, being a little bit of the word people like to use is distraction. I hesitate to use that word sometimes because I think people weaponize it, where they don't allow anything of serious nature to infiltrate sports because sports are only supposed to be the candy store or whatnot. And obviously, athletes have used their platforms, and sports cross over with reality all the time. However, when it comes to the pandemic here, for the most part, that I think has been the case, other than, you know, you could argue the numbers haven't reflected it because people's viewing habits are off and ratings have been negatively affected, all that sort of thing. And there's been some outbreaks, obviously. We saw it most notably, I think, with the Marlins at the beginning of the baseball season. And I think the fact that baseball got through that and through the Cardinals situation gave the NFL a lot of cover for their season. I mean, the NBA had the bubble, so there was no positives during that entire process. They did a great job with that. But unfortunately, the numbers have not really gone down since then, and they're at an all-time high now. And the NFL is in the midst of its season, and they're dealing with another outbreak at the moment, similar to what they had with the Titans earlier in the year. Again, I've always separated college from professional sports, and college football's had a little bit of a scheduling nightmare lately. College basketball remains to be seen. But let's focus on the NFL for a second, because it is the biggest sport. It is the one that probably is making the biggest headlines as a result of this right now. And let me give the NFL a little credit, first of all. I think it's actually gone better than one could have thought going in. I mean, when you looked at the nature of this thing and the fact that they weren't playing in a bubble, and the size of the rosters on a team and the close proximity that players have with one another, I actually expected it to be worse. And thus far, they've been able to maintain their schedule. I mean, they've had to move some stuff around, but for the most part, their schedule has been uninterrupted. And the one that they're trying to pull off right now is the most difficult to keep that schedule intact. And that's, of course, what's going on with Baltimore and the Ravens. They were supposed to play Pittsburgh on Thursday night. There was supposed to be a good game on Thanksgiving as opposed to the Lions and the Cowboys. Now it's supposed to be the nightcap, and it got moved to Sunday at first. And some of the Steelers players were a little irritated by that. Juju Smith-Schuster, Eric Ebron went on Twitter to complain about it. And I mean, I get it. They had something go against them with the Titans earlier this year. Now it's with the Ravens, and their schedules, they're not playing the primetime game, and maybe they're upset about their rhythm and everything. But them's the breaks. I mean, it's 2020. I think when you're dealing with a pandemic that has, afflicted so many, hurt so many out there in the world, physically and economically, you can get over your football game being moved a few days. So that got moved to Sunday, and then more positive tests keep popping up with the Baltimore Ravens, including Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, obviously. And now the game has been moved to Tuesday. And that means that another game has to be moved because the Ravens were set to play the Cowboys on Thursday. So that Thursday game between the Cowboys and the Ravens got moved to the following Monday. And I was wondering how the NFL would sort of juggle this schedule a bit, because there had been talk about a forfeit. I would think they would want to avoid a forfeit at all costs. One reason is the cost of it. I saw Adam Schefter, I believe it was, last night, tweet out that if there was a forfeit, the players wouldn't actually be paid for the game, which is nuts. you didn't I didn't even think about that as a possibility. Here's the tweet. A note on any games potentially forfeited as the NFL season winds down. Players on both teams would not be paid for that particular game. A forfeit would mean a loss for one team, but a loss for players on both teams. So obviously, players would want to avoid that. I mean, also, if you go beyond just the economic factor of it, the Steelers, say they went 16-0 and one of the games was a forfeit. That's not exactly ideal. And say the Ravens missed the playoffs by a game and one of them is a forfeit. That's not exactly ideal either. So the NFL is going to continue to try and do what it has done for the majority of this year, and that is just shuffle things around. Just move the schedule. And I didn't know if they could really because of the Ravens playing on Thursday, but I was stupidly forgot they could just move that their next game. and that's what they did, because they're talk about, these two teams playing an extra week at the end of the season after the regular season was over. Instead, the game that was originally scheduled for Thanksgiving was moved to Sunday, and then it was subsequently moved to Tuesday, and then the following game that was going to be played on Thursday has been moved to Monday. And you got to hope, if you're the NFL, that's all the moving that you have to do. But I think they've done the right thing there. I mean, I know the Steelers wanted to play and everything, but there's been multiple positive out tests with the Ravens. Every day they're getting something back. So I don't think it was safe or wise to have those teams play each other and allow that to further spread, allow it to go beyond one team. At least 12 Ravens players have tested positive, including Lamar Jackson, as I said. Regardless, Robert Griffin III is going to start against Pittsburgh, which will be interesting to see. I mean, RG3, remember RG3 at the beginning of his career? He was, you know, a hell of a rookie. And then he got injured. His leg got destroyed, and he played in that playoff game despite his leg being, like, basically broken in half during that game. And since then, hasn't quite been the same player. And he got to Baltimore, and, you know, he's been mostly a backup in his time there. He in 2019, he threw 38 passes, so he actually got some reps in 2019 in 7 games played during the course of that season. But it'll be interesting to see where he's at this point in time. He's thrown 2 passes thus far this year for 9 yards, 1 of 2 for 9 yards. Did manage to get a pickoff interception in those 2 passes. But I'm curious to see where RG3 is at this moment. But the NFL's also had to shut down, you know, facilities. They closed the team facilities for Monday and Tuesday. I think they're sort of aware that the numbers across the board are very bad right now. And they have a situation with one of their teams right now. And that you also have the holidays going on. And, you know, so therefore, they don't want to have to keep moving and shuffling, and they don't want to have anything worse happen. So the team facilities will be closed to all in-person activities Monday and Tuesday. They're just trying to keep this down so they can keep on going. I mean, we've got it. I'm pleasantly surprised by how basically uninterrupted the NFL season has been. Not just uninterrupted, but mostly safe, right? Like, mostly, you're going to have, look, if activities are proceeding, you're going to have positive tests. That's an unfortunate reality. And with that comes, you know, some risk too. I mean, fortunately, the vast majority of young, healthy people seem to be okay, but we still don't know the long-term effects, or any lingering effects. And then you have a situation like what happened to the Bills tight end, who may have developed, you know, that heart condition as a result of COVID, had to take the rest of the season off. Kyodardis, I don't know how to pronounce it, but there's a health related issue that comes up in the cardiovascular system because of COVID. So I mean, they're is some risk involved. That's why Tommy Sweeney was his name, Bill's tight end. There's some risk involved. That's why you had guys opting out before the season, even if for the most part, you know, the demographic of the NFL hopefully and should be mostly okay. But then again, you know, it's not even about your personal risk either. Like, that's, I guess, a misnomer. It'd be one thing if it's I make said decision to put my own health at risk to a certain degree, but it's everybody that you come into contact with and then everybody that they come into contact with. And not only can that mean spread to somebody who is more vulnerable, but it can also, in a more trivial manner, mean spread within a team, right? Spread within an organization, spread to another organization, and then the league having trouble functioning. And I don't think anybody out there wants the NFL to shut down at this point. I think we're beyond, to be honest, shutdowns, barring something catastrophic. I think, you know, that for better or worse, that bridge has been crossed. But I did think it was worth at least discussing the latest news there. I'm not going to spend the whole show on it because I do think people are COVID out. And when I say that, I say that while emphasizing, please take personal responsibility. please do what you can. Do your part to make sure this thing doesn't go on forever. Wear your mask. Don't be around people. Take personal responsibility. But at the same time, like I said, everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on. Every time you turn the TV on, you're hearing about it constantly. You don't need reminders. Your life is a reminder right now. So I think when people are tuning into a sports show at the moment, that's not the topic du jour they necessarily want to get into. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. How much are you thinking about COVID still when it relates to sports? How much are you thinking about it when it relates to the NFL right now, having seen the Ravens and Steelers game get moved from Thanksgiving and moved a couple times? 855-212-4227. Reminder, tomorrow it is an NFL doubleheader on CBS, with the early games highlighted by the Colts clashing with the Titans. Then in the late game, all eyes will be on the marquee matchup between Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs taking on Tom Brady's Bucks. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with the NFL Today. Tomorrow, the NFL is on CBS. Speaking of that marquee matchup, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, I do have a question to ask about Tom Brady, because I think the season that Brady has had requires a little nuance, and nuance is not exactly a word or something that us in sports talk are generally very good at. So the nuance surrounding Tom Brady, I mean, people getting bored when I even use the word nuance. He's either great or he's trash. How dare you? How dare you suggest Tom Brady may be something other than categorically amazing or utter garbage? He has to be one of those two. Well, there's a lot of in-between with Brady. We'll get to that coming up as well. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Stay in touch with Robin via Twitter. His handle is at Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You can get at me on Twitter if you like, or on the phones at 855-212-4227, like Remy in California. Remy, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, you know what? I want to tell you something, Robin. You're quite a gentleman. I don't call too many shows, but I know half of the people that are hosts there. Anyway, you know what? This is my problem, but I want to say a question to you. Do you know what, Robin? There is guys that are playing with the COVID virus, and then they come up, you know, the Ravens, you won't see them in 2 years.
We won't see the Ravens?
It's a cop-out. It's a cop-out, Robin.
What do you mean we won't see? What do you mean we won't see them in 2 years?
Well, they're either going to disappear or change the name.
So they are, wait, your theory is that they have COVID to cover for them reinventing themselves as a franchise?
I think they were playing with players on the field that was COVID, but they're supposed to be the next. Kansas City, you ain't going to touch them.
Okay.
This is our next destiny. This is the other Brady guy.
Patrick Mahomes. All right, Remy, appreciate the call, man. I don't think the Ravens have any elaborate scheme. I don't think there's a conspiracy afoot. I think the Ravens are dealing with a coronavirus outbreak on their team. That's just what happens nowadays. And I'm not quite sure what else to do with that. So I'll just move on. You have the other game, as you mentioned, the Destiny game, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes this weekend, and it, the goat against the baby goat, right? Tom Brady is probably the most consensus greatest of all time in sports at the moment. Currently playing, I mean, Wayne Gretzky, I guess, gets that nod as a hockey player in general, but of active players, is there somebody else who's active that is consensus, basically considered the best ever or the greatest ever at their sport? I mean, obviously LeBron is playing, and I think he's the greatest ever, but you will not get a consensus on that. There may be some other guy that he gets argued with incessantly about that. As far as Brady goes, though, it's fairly accepted. It just, even if it's begrudgingly accepted, it's fairly accepted, where people are just like, yeah, kind of is what it is. You know, if you're on the Family Feud, who's the greatest quarterback of all time? Number one answer on the board, Tom Brady. I mean, pretty easy, guys. Don't have to overthink this one. Just buzz in. Just say it. But Patrick Mahomes, he's different. And in order to catch Brady, I mean, for the greatest, that takes, years and years and years. Patrick Mahomes ain't going to do that by next year, ain't going to do that by the year after. I don't know what the measure is to do that. I wouldn't make it just purely rings. I mean, six rings is an awful lot of rings. I don't know if anybody will catch that. I mean, that's a combination of factors, obviously, that have to do with playing on the Patriots and that dynasty and everything that was fortuitous about Tom Brady's career. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes or anybody else is going to get to that number, but regardless, you don't become the greatest of all time in just a few years. That is based on a career. However, when you take a snapshot of a career, you can talk about, you know, peak level performance for guys. And Patrick Mahomes is the best I've ever seen. If you want to separate goat and boat, best of all time. I mean, no disrespect to Tom Brady. I don't mean this to slight Tom Brady. I'm not trying to diminish Tom Brady. I'm not trying to undermine Tom Brady's legacy, any of that stuff. Patrick Mahomes is better than anybody I've seen. So I'm making about Brady. It's not like he's just better than Brady. He's better than anybody I've seen. His ability to throw from different arm angles, his accuracy, his mobility, his decision making, just the myriad of throws he can make out on the field. Patrick Mahomes is filthy. I mean, you're looking at an all time great quarterback class right now. Like the NFL maybe has more great quarterbacks in it right now than it's ever had. When you talk about the guys who are at the end of their career, Brady, Roethlisberger, Breeze, and then you talk about the guys who are at the very beginning of their career, Justin Herbert, unfortunately Joe Burrow just went down, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and then you talk about, you know, some of the guys who are established, Russell Wilson, and still playing at an extremely high level. And Mahomes. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. All around, all together. But, you know, as good as some of these other guys, Aaron Rodgers, as good as some of these other guys are, Patrick Mahomes is better. I mean, look at that last game. Give him the ball, he deposits it in the end zone in seconds. So, I mean, anytime you get Brady against Mahomes, you're going to get some buildup, you're going to get some hype, and you're going to even get talk about a Super Bowl, right? But to me, whether or not there's a Super Bowl matchup has a lot more to do with Tom Brady than it does with Patrick Mahomes. And in order to talk about where the Buccaneers are right now, as they head into Saturday's matchup with the Chiefs, you got to talk about Tom Brady and the season that he's had. And, you know, it's very interesting because, well, if you look at it and you just simply took the results thus far, if you just simply looked at the numbers for Brady, the record, the statistics, I don't know how you come away unimpressed. I think you have to be impressed by what Brady has done this year in Tampa. Yet, the noise out of Tampa Bay, the noise on certain talk shows and the like, is contrary to that. You know, as if there's, you know, it's been problematic, or as if it isn't smooth sailing. So what is that? What is the root cause of that, and why? Is Tom Brady, you know, a lightning rod at the moment, his situation in Tampa Bay? Why isn't it something that there's just a clear, like, oh, you know, he's had a good year, when there's a lot of people who are pointing to Brady as the reason they don't believe in the Buccaneers? Well, I think, you know, there's a big area between great and trash. Excellence and awfulness. And the fact that Brady's in the middle of that, you know, and I think closer to greatness than he is to trash, but nevertheless not on one side of the lever or the other, I think that leads to it. And I'll explain a little bit coming up.
Making weekends great, one Saturday at a time. Here's Robin Lundberg.
You know, I could easily argue Tom Brady's season in Tampa has already been a success. Easily. I mean, if you were to look at Tom Brady's career and say there was one hole in it or one flaw or one thing to nitpick, I mean, a hole is the wrong word. There's no hole in it, but you get what I'm saying. It would be that there was a shred of doubt amongst people about how Brady would do away from New England, right? That was always the thing. Was he a system quarterback? I mean, as if, like, if there was the system was that good, everybody wouldn't just be running the system. Well, when he went to Tampa originally, you know, I don't know if that was any part of his motivation, proving that he could do it away from Belichick. I mean, that would seem like he was motivated very much by talking heads in sports media, if that was the case. There are a lot of reasons that go into a decision like that. That's a personal decision and a professional decision. So I don't know if he's just tired of what was going on in New England, or thought he had a better chance to win. Whatever. There's so many things. Lifestyle. I don't know the reason. But when he first went there, I thought to myself, man, you know, this is risky, because even if he, you know, if he plays poorly, even in that case, I don't know if I could say that was proof that he couldn't succeed away from New England, because he's so old, 43 years old. I mean, not as a human being old, but as a football player old, ancient. I mean, he's only a few years older than me, as in regular years. But that's, you know, unprecedented to be playing at this level in the NFL at that age. So I did wonder, you know, whether Brady, you know, if he underperformed, whether that would even answer that question for us. But instead, he's played pretty well. All things considered, he's played pretty well. And the Buccaneers are 7-4. 7-4, Brady on the season has thrown for, thus far, how many touchdowns? Is it 25 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, about 3,000 yards passing, 65% completion rate. I mean, it's hard to be mad at that. It's hard to be mad at that. I mean, last year he was 24-8 in New England. He's got one more interception than he did last year, but he also has one more touchdown. So, in an offense that airs the ball down the field a little bit more. So, all things considered, I think when you factor in his age and you factor in he's getting used to a new team and everything, it's hard to say anything other than it's been impressive by Tampa, how he's played in Tampa, by Brady, how he's played in Tampa.
been impressive.
With that said, and here's the part where I argue against myself a little bit, it does feel like some of Brady's limitations, which is natural he would have limitations at this phase in his career, are what are holding Tampa back a little bit at times. And that is when he's facing pressure right up the middle, which has always been the best way to get to him because, you know, it comes from the side. He can just step up to the side or something like that. Comes up his face, he can't do that. And you know, that's how the Giants got to him. That's how, you know, typically, easier said than done, you rattle Brady. And the other thing is the deep ball. In weeks 1 through 7, Brady was 14 of 39 on deep balls. 2 touchdowns, no picks. Weeks 8 through 11, he's 0 of 19 on deep balls. His final 3 attempts in week 7 against the Raiders were also incomplete, meaning he's missed on his last 22 deep ball attempts. Going back to week 5, Brady is 3 for 36 on deep passes. Not good, Tom. And apparently, that's led to some friction maybe with Bruce Arians, the coach there. And part of that's, you know, part of that's natural to their system. I mean, the way that team plays is deep drop, deep ball, you know, throw it down the field. And Arians, I don't know if Brady actually wanted to get away from Belichick or not. Whatever Belichick would say in private, he wouldn't air Brady out the way Arians has publicly numerous times this season. I mean, he already talked to, again this week, Arians said, we're not missing the deep balls in practice. It's at least the second time this year I can recall him basically saying Brady's been better in practice than he has been in the games. So it's an interesting situation. And, you know, the last several primetime games, Brady has not played well. He didn't play well against the Giants. The Buccaneers should have lost that game. They got destroyed by the Saints. Then they had a win against Carolina, not a primetime game. And then they lost that game against the Rams. And I think, you know, at least I have. I've watched that team in those games, and I started to think, all right, this is a playoff team, but not really a contending team. And then you ask, why are they not a contending team? Well, I'm not so sure Brady can be the guy to do that, to elevate at this point. And that's where the nuance comes in. Again, I think Brady's had a successful season overall. I think he's had an impressive season overall. But he does appear to be limited. And are those limitations what are going to hold back Tampa Bay ultimately? How do you assess where Tom Brady is right now heading into his showdown with Patrick Mahomes this weekend? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Alan in Toronto. Alan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're absolutely right, bang on. The way I look at it, it might be a little quirky, but he has everything to gain and absolutely nothing to lose. He's a legend, and he's a certain Hall of Famer. And, you know, he's got 2,955 yards so far this year, and 70% completion rate. Absolutely remarkable for anybody that's in his prime at his zenith. But the fact that he is 43 years old and playing at that level, you can count on one hand the number of 43-year-old quarterbacks. 43 years old is it's old for anybody in any of the top four sports, but especially a quarterback, you know, so that's exactly it. And if he had a poor game against the Giants, well, you could say, well, so what? He's 43 years old. Must have been tripping over his 43-year-old graveyard, you know. And if he has a great game, well, it's absolutely remarkable. I can give you two examples. Julio Franco played until he was 49, and his batting average was .250, and everybody said, well, what's so great about that? Well, he's 49 years old. Ricky Henderson was 44, and he was batting .240, and I said, that's remarkable. What's so good about that? Well, he's 44. You know, Brady is 44 years old, and look at Joe Montana, never even reached 44. And, you know, his last year in Kansas City was very mediocre. So it's, you know, he's, like I said, he's got everything to gain and absolutely nothing to lose. If he had a bad game against the Giants, well, so what, you know? So big deal. He's 43, so.
Well, I mean, that's one way to look at it, Alan, and appreciate the call, as always, man. It's one way to look at it is that there's, you know, no negativity, no negative spin to his season. You know, it, given where he's at in his career, it is, and I'm with you, it is remarkable for him to still be playing at this high level. It's remarkable for him to still be playing at a level high enough to be scrutinized, I guess is the way I would put that. You know, to be playing at a level high enough to be scrutinized. But when you do scrutinize him, you see that, you know, there are flaws in that game. And the lack of a deep ball is one of them. And, you know, is he good enough for Tampa to ultimately win this? Because they've gotten past the point of proving that they're good or a playoff team. Now it's whether they can beat those other top-tier teams. And thus far, the returns on that specifically have not been great. Let's go to Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're on with Robin Lundberg here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Spike?
Hey, good morning. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Everybody ate heartily, and things get a little better. The thing with Brady, though, you know, I'm a hoops guy like you, and I'm thinking, you know, Vince Carter, you know, and he, I would say Vince Carter tailed off more than Brady. A different game, you know, legs and all that. But I'm really concerned, as much as I love the NBA and looking at, not to put a Paul on the show, I would never do that to you. You're too upbeat and, you know, you just generate a lot of energy. I'm concerned if they don't play in the bubble because it really appears to me that the travel is incurring all these infections. It just makes sense. You don't have to, you know, be a rocket scientist to figure this out, Dr. Fauci or Burks. But what do you think? Do you think the NBA is going to, they're not going to play in the bubble. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, they're not. There's no plans to play in a bubble. I don't think for an entire season they could do that. What they are doing is restricting the travel.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. I think when basically the way the schedule is going to look, Spike, is like, let's say I've just used New York for an example because I know you know you're New York. A team flies in to play the Knicks. Well, then their next game will be against the Nets, right? Stuff like that. So
yeah,
that they're
Nets Sixes. Okay, I understand that, but my point is infection has no boundaries, you know, and so what I'm saying is you're getting it because you're exposing yourself, exposing the team and all the peripheral people. I never realized the amount of people compared to players that run an organization.
Sure. I guess that's all about protocols and how well they're followed. Because I would have thought, to be honest, I would have thought baseball would be worse than it was.
So did I.
And football would be worse than it was. So if those are the indicators, if they do it responsibly, and we know they will, right? They already did the bubble. Then hopefully, I mean, look, you're going to have, it's going to be a part of the season, but it's hopefully mitigated. And then by the time the playoffs come around, you should the whole league should be vaccinated, I would imagine.
All right, but let me ask you this, and this is what's puzzling me. So you got the NFL. They look like they have 1 or 2 weeks, if I'm looking at the schedule, you know, to play around with just-in-case time, you know, whatever they call it. But it's are they going to go, so let's say, and it happened, the quarterback, was it the Ravens quarterback is out now?
Lamar Jackson, yeah.
He's okay, so he's out, and they're a prominent team, so to speak, top 5 team, top 8 team, whatever. The playoff team for sure. So what do you do if he can't play? What do you do if, let's say, God forbid, Mahomes and Brady or whatever these guys come down with the COVID, you know, right before the playoff game? It really sucks. I mean, it really does. I don't think they took the proper precautions, especially in football when you're helmet to helmet, then all sorts of liquids and fluids are flying all over the place. See, to me, mitigating the distance travel is irrelevant because it maybe eliminates a plane trip, but you still have food service people and people, if they stay in hotels, which they are, you know, making beds and doing all sorts of stuff like that. But anyway, I'll leave you with this thing. Let's go forward and hope for the best and the vaccine comes and this thing's behind. Boy, I don't want this year back.
Yeah, so, I don't think any of us do.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible for everybody. I've lost 2 friends. It still stinks. It's an age function with me, too. But let's say the NBA plays and they go to an unbalanced schedule by division, I guess, the old way I could put it. So they're playing a disproportionate amount of games against their geographical close rivals. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I have to look at the exact machinations of the schedule, but yes, I mean, I know they're well, first of all, they're playing fewer games just in general. Secondly, I know they are planning on limiting the travel, and yes, I do think they are going to load up on specific matchups as a result, but I haven't, the schedule has not been released.
Yeah, because I can't imagine. East won't play West. I always like to see the West Coast teams that go to a game or two a year, you know?
Well, they're still going to play. No, they're still going to do that. It just, they're going to, you know, I don't know. I'm not the expert on this.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mean to throw a curve at you. So anyway, listen, enjoy everything. The last question I'm asking it to people I talk to, it's a little off center. You have strange eating habits, if I remember, you know, from years ago. But what was your favorite dessert?
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I like pumpkin pie. I know that may not be the cool thing to say anymore, but I like pumpkin pie. I appreciate the call, as always, Spike. Happy holidays to you and everybody out there. I mean, I think things have been put into perspective, right? That is definitely something that's happened over the course of the year. I believe here's for the NBA, each team will play three games against each intra-conference opponent, 42 total games per team, with each pairing featuring either two home games and one road game or one home game and two road games. Within each team's division, the league office has randomly assigned which two opponents will be played twice at home and which two opponents will be played twice on the road. All five teams from within a division will play all five teams from one other intra-conference division twice at home, and all five teams from the remaining intra-conference division twice on the road. Each team will play two games against each inter-conference opponent. So that's apparently how the schedule is going to break down. But, you know, I'm just hoping that they handle it correctly. And actually, I won't criticize the NFL. I know he was saying that. I think the NFL has actually done pretty good, all things considered, that just moving games around a little bit has been the worst outcome. But right now, Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady is on for Sunday. What do you make of the season Brady has had? And could Patrick Mahomes actually surpass him in the all-time rankings? Is that a possibility? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.